am the Nomad Pastor. I think today is maybe episode 3, give or take. That's what I think I plan on it being, anyways. And today I just wanted to spend a little time talking about myself. Talk about kind of why I'm doing this and how I got to where I am today. And who knows how long it'll take. Probably not too long. It's not a long story. But I want to start with, I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. And at the time I grew up, I'm almost 50 now, and at the time I grew up in Salt Lake City, I would say about 80% of the population was Mormon, LDS. I think they really call themselves the Church of Latter-day Saints. And my family was a Mormon. They didn't go to church, and so that made it pretty difficult because you grow up in an environment where that choice of religion, parents didn't want their kids playing with other kids that were Mormon. And I had friends. I don't want to sit here and try to say that I didn't. I had great friends that I grew up with. But there were times that it was difficult. And even in my adult life living in Salt Lake City, it was very difficult. If you moved into a neighborhood or you bought a new house, the first question somebody asked you is which church you go to. And if you didn't say, Mormon Church ABC down the street, then the odds of them really ever talking to you again diminished. Now, I will openly say that I've met Mormons throughout my life in various different locations, and it's different in other places. I think that it's more of a statement in Salt Lake City, and it's probably different today. I haven't lived there for, 15 or 16 years. But, I didn't have a great environment growing up. I don't want to say that I wasn't loved. My mom loved me more than anything. But it was hard. And I think when I was probably 13 or 14 years old, I read the Bible for the first time. But in all honesty, I didn't actually read it to have a relationship with God. I really read it because I didn't understand what Mormonism was teaching, and I wanted to have the ability to say, no, this really isn't right. Because some of the things that they say directly contradict what's in the Bible and their belief systems. And so it was really my way of using it as a tool. And frankly, today, that's probably why I love apologetics. I love the ability to really defend the faith. I listened to Frank Turek from Cross Examined and Greg Kokel and a lot of the apologists today, and it's just amazing to me how well-versed they are, and I just, someday maybe I'll get to that point. But, growing up in Salt Lake was hard, and so not defending my faith, but fighting against a faith that was not biblical was hard. And so, 16 years ago, I moved to Nashville. And in that process, I met my wife, who's amazing. And I'll never forget, I knew she was Christian. And I told her one time, I said, look, I know that you're a Christian. I believe in God, but don't be kind of holy rolling on me. Just kind of you do you and I'll do me. And I guess that worked for a little while. But, the one thing that never stopped is she just said, okay. She said, I'm going to pray for you. And she never stopped praying for me. And, here we are today. And I think, there will be times that we'll figure out what that looks like and how we got to where we are today. But I think more than anything, it was that, when you get that nudge, there's a reason for it. And so I'll tell you my story a little bit. My wife had surgery a couple times. And the one time that she had it, we weren't married yet. And I was at the hospital with her. And it wasn't great. It didn't go great. And you know, I'll never forget that time, right? Let me just tell you, never have surgery over like Christmas vacation. Because when you do, the doctors all leave. And especially if you go someplace like Vanderbilt where it's a teaching hospital, you're going to be stuck with a bunch of interns, and you can hope that they really know what they're doing. And a lot of times they do, and a lot of times they may not always make the right choices. And I think we were in a scenario that they didn't really make the right choices, you know. My wife had surgery on her intestines, and instead of waiting for her to actually be ready to eat, they allowed her to eat too soon. What that did was caused problems that, you know, you can't even imagine. And, you know, one day I was in her room and I had accidentally like bumped the bed or touched the bed or whatever whatever I did, it wasn't great. Maybe I even put my feet on the bed. I don't really remember, but she was in so much pain. She was like, told me to leave, get out, and never come back, basically. And I left. I just went out in the hall. I didn't actually leave. I wasn't about to leave the hospital. But I just sat in the hall. And then, the next day I was in there, and she had blocked because they let her eat too soon. And she had tubes in her nose, and they had pumped her stomach. And, you know, she was pretty out of it. And I'm sitting in the chair next to her bed, being very careful not to touch it. And I hear, plain as day, pick her up. In my mind, I'm hallucinating. I'm just like, no, you're crazy. You touch that bed, she's going to freak out. You're going to hurt her. Just don't even consider it. And here it is again. Pick her up. And now in my mind, I'm like justifying what I'm hearing. I'm like, this is, you know, it's ridiculous. I don't know what's going on. No, I'm not going to do this. And then the third time, it's like almost forceful and, you know, almost pushes me out of the chair to pick her up. And so I listen and I do, and I go and pick her up. And, you know, she's got tubes in her and everything in her nose, and she just opens her eyes and looks at me and kind of smiles a little bit. And a couple days later, she says, why did you pick me up? I said, I don't know. I'm sorry. I know I wasn't supposed to touch the bed. I'm going through my mind of all the justifications of how I'm going to get out of this and without her being upset at me. And as I'm trying to apologize, she says, that's okay. She said, I was dying, and I was praying for somebody to pick me up and save me. And I don't know if I knew it right then, but I definitely know now that was the Holy Spirit pushing me. That was me being forced to answer her prayer. And so at that time, we said, okay, so, you know, we started going to church. And if I'm being honest, I did everything I thought a good Christian did, right? I went to church on Sunday, and I paid my tithing. But when I walked out that door Sunday afternoon, church was over, right? I was going back to my own life to do what I want to do during the week. And, you know, as long as I'm going on Sunday and paying my tithing, I'm a good Christian. But then I read this book, called Stepping Up, A Courageous Call to Manhood. And that book, I don't know, it changed my mind, it changed my life, it changed everything. Because it made me realize that I wasn't a good Christian man. I could probably even barely call myself a Christian, you know, just because I walked in the door of a church building and wrote a check every other week. Didn't really make me a Christian. I didn't have courage. I wasn't leading my family. I wasn't the example that my kids needed. I was telling them to check a box, right? So after that, reading that book, you know, Linda and I, we really started focusing on what does it really look like to be a Christian? What does it really look like to follow that calling? Right? What does it really look like to go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? What does it look like to walk with them? It was hard, because when you know the truth, when you know what you're supposed to do, it's not easy anymore, right? You're not checking a box. The one thing I want, probably more than anything, is to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But I know that by checking the box, that might not be good enough. Probably is not. And so then we started this journey, right? You know, the people who know me know that I love motorcycles. I have ridden motorcycles for a long time. I grew up on motorcycles. I grew up around them. And I thought, what a better way to share the gospel than to share it with the people I love, right? My people, right? People who ride bikes. And so I started doing research on different Christian motorcycle ministries. And I had ordered all the stuff for one ministry, and I was looking at it. And then Linda and I went to this, in Nashville, we went to this Easy Riders convention. And at that convention, we met the guys from Bikers for Christ. Smoke and Joe, Hammer, Duplates, my brothers. And that day, I think more than anything, changed my life. I recognized that I could be the person that I am and not be judged for it. I could be the person that I am and be loved by God. I could be the person that I am and grow the kingdom. So I spent a lot of time hanging out with them, riding with them, doing all the things that God asked us to do. And then I started getting put on my heart that I'm supposed to do more. Now I'm still with Bikers for Christ. I still ride with them every chance I get. I'm actually the chapter elder for the Nashville chapter of Bikers for Christ. And, I go to as many as the different events that we can. Pastor Z, our national president, is an amazing man of God. And just love him more than anything. But I still felt the nudge to do something else. And so I started learning, right? I started studying and doing what I have to do to be able to give a message, right? For people to listen to it. I wanted to know that what I was saying mattered, but that what I was saying, came from the Spirit. And so I spent, a couple years just diving really deep into the Bible. And look, a couple years is not anything, right? I'll spend the next 40 years diving deep into the Bible. And every time I'm going to learn something, right? It's just like I said on the last podcast about digging for gold. But what I was really looking at is, how do I help somebody else get where I am? How do I help somebody else recognize that they are enough? That there's not judgment, that you don't have to fit a certain mold. That's part of the reason that this podcast is going to exist. And if only one person ever listens to it, I don't care. Because I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do right now. And it may evolve and it may change. And if it does, great. And if it doesn't, that's great as well. But I'm here to bring a message that it's okay. That everybody is worthy. Now, look, I know that I went through that. I don't know. I'm sure I went through that very quick, and it's all right. And you can feel free to ask questions, because I'm sure you're going to have them. And I hope they have answers. I know if it's related to my story, I'm going to have answers. You know? But you're enough. I'm enough. It took me a long time to be able to say that. It took me a long time to be able to say, I'm enough the way I am. God accepts me for me. And I sin every day. Every day. But every day I try to be a better man. I try to be a better husband. I try to be a better father. You know, I was an angry person. You know, when Linda and I first started dating 15, 16 years ago, I was not happy. I thought I was. I thought I knew what happiness was. But I was pretty empty inside. And I praise God for her every day that she just didn't stop praying for me. She could have easily just walked away and said, like, this dude's angry. You know, he's not happy. He screams and yells all the time. But she didn't. She prayed for me. God put her in my life for a reason. And hopefully God puts this podcast in your life for a reason, so that you can recognize that you are enough. That all you have to do is accept Christ and every day try to be better than the day before. So as we take this journey together, I guess is the best way to put it, you know, because this is new for me too. As we take this journey together, I would say, just be open. Be open to what God can do in your life. Because when I first started this walk, I wasn't really open. I said, nah, I'm going to go to church as long as I go to church. And, you know, every Sunday, that's good. Now, while I'm a huge advocate for going to church, because you have to have that community, don't beat yourself up if you don't. Find somebody who does live streams. You know, find a church with a pastor that you resonate with. Right? The reason there's so many versions of the Bible is because a version may speak to you that doesn't speak to somebody else. That's okay. Find what works for you and take that step and walk with God. Don't let somebody convince you that you're not doing it right. If I let people tell me I'm not doing it right, I wouldn't be talking right now. If I let people tell me I'm not doing it right, I probably wouldn't be with Bikers for Christ. You know? And if you do ride and you're out and about and you see some Bikers for Christ members, stop and say hi. Ask them to pray for you, because they'll love it. If you're in some area, you know, that you want to go to church and you don't know where to go, go to the Bikers for Christ website. It's bikersforchrist.org. They have churches, Rushing Wind churches, all over the place. Or if you just don't know what that next step is, just send me an email. It's hello@nomadpastor.org. I'll help you find a church. It was scary doing this walk to get to where I am today. And let me just be honest with you, it's still scary every day. Every day is scary. And, you know, a lot of my friends have heard me say it's the hardest, easy decision I've ever made. It's easy to say I'm gonna follow Christ, I'm going to be a Christian. But it's hard when you actually understand everything. And I don't want to scare people. But we have to know what we're getting into, right? Look, I pray that you guys have just an amazing week. You know, I pray that maybe this simple message or this simple story about me helps you in some way. You know, it helps me just to talk about it. I think that's probably another reason that I do this. Because the more I talk about my story, the more I talk about my faith, the more I talk about Christ, I think the better relationship I have, the more I feel filled with the Spirit. And the more I can get that, the better for me every day, because I need all the spirit I can get. So look, I know you got tons of choices for podcasts. You hear me say this, you know, hopefully every time you listen. But if you like it, subscribe, you know. Subscribe on iTunes or Google or Spotify or whatever your podcast of choice is. Subscribe. Give me a like, you know. Let me know what you think. If you got a question, you want to talk about something, if you're interested in being on the podcast, send me a message at hello@nomadpastor.org. Again, I appreciate everybody's time. You have a blessed week.